This is News in Notes. I'm Tony Cox. From gritty streets of Baltimore to the seedy underbelly of Los Angeles, few literary genres capture the imagination better than crime fiction. There are crooks, private eyes, and of course, some dames as well. Crime fiction brings the bad guys to our backyards, and today, as part of our ongoing series on crime, we bring you the finest in African-American crime writers. Paula Woods joins us now to start off this conversation. We'll be joined by some others in just a moment. She's the author of the Charlotte Justice Mystery Series and the editor of Spook, Spies, and Private Eyes, an anthology of African-American crime fiction. Hi, Paula.
Hi, Tony.
It's nice to have you here.
Thanks.
Crime fiction is often about death and the seedy underbelly of society, and your book, Spook, Spies, and Private Eyes, gives a cross-section of African-American crime fiction writers. In what way would you say, Paula, that African-American crime fiction writers make the genre their own?
I think one of the things that I always admired about what people like Walter Mosley, Gar Haywood, Gary Phillips, and others do is that they really tell us what it's like to live in Black America. When Black crime fiction was first written, going back to 1900, it was always about a different part of society that we didn't see. And so for African-American readers, it was seeing yourself validated through the culture. It wasn't necessarily always about the crime. It was also about the culture. And for whites, it was like a little peek under the kimono. You know, you got to see Harlem in Rudolph Fisher, or you got to see Walter Mosley's 1940s L.A., or you got to see Charlotte Justice's Los Angeles in the 90s. So it was always something different and a different aspect of life that we didn't see before.
Yeah, but how did it change from, say, a Chester Himes to a Mosley to to Gar, Anthony Haywood? How has it changed, that storytelling and looking under the cover, so to speak?
Well, you know, I think Chester Himes was as much caricature in some regards as it was a look at the culture. Walter Mosley, when his books came out in the early 90s, were much more inside Black culture from a reality standpoint. And I think the same is true of Gar. I think the early writers were much more stylized. And I think the current crop of writers are much more realistic.
Well, let's talk to some of those current crop of writers who are joining us in the studio. With us right now, we're joined by Gar Anthony Haywood. He is the Seamus Award-winning author of the Aaron Gunner series, and Gary Phillips, who writes and edits crime and mystery stories. His latest graphic novel, High Rollers, is about an L.A. gangster. Gentlemen, welcome to you as well.
Thank you, Tony.
Gar, let me start with you. There are many different forms of writing out there. You chose crime. What kind of research do you do before you start writing?
It depends on the story, Tony, of course. I try to do as much as is necessary to make the story believable, as opposed to quote-unquote realistic. You know, I was fortunate enough to start writing in the age of the Internet, where it's a relatively simple thing to get on the net and Google something and come up with a ton of material. You know, for my protagonist, Aaron Gunner specifically, there isn't a whole lot of research necessary other than all the reading I've done within the genre and my own personal experience, my life experiences. Okay. You know, I'm not one of those writers that, you know, will say that my characters are not in some way similar to myself. A lot of Gunner's attitudes and such come from my own. And so in that respect, research doesn't really come into the equation very much. Gunner is myself in another profession. And, you know, I try not to overplay research too much. But I definitely think that you have to do enough so that the reader believes what he's reading.
So it has some credibility, obviously. Gary, you grew up in South Los Angeles, and your graphic novels take place here in the City of Angels. What makes this such a good place for crime noir?
Well, I guess the old adage is that L.A. in particular is a place where people come to reinvent themselves for various reasons, for good and for ill. And of course, it's prickling below the surface of that, or it's prickling into their lives before they got here, and their lives they've now kind of manufactured for themselves while they're here. that leads to this kind of rich soil, I think it is, to tell these crime and mystery stories. I write both novels and comic books and graphic novels, so I get to play with the form a lot, and it's really great for me to kind of go back and forth between prose and being able to tell stories with words and pictures.
Well, Paula, is there such a thing as a geography to the culture of writing black crime fiction?
Well, there are many geographies, because if you think about some of the writers, they wrote about the black underclass. And so there's that geography. In other writers' work, in Stephen L. Carter, for example, or in the Charlotte Justice series, they write about the black elite. So the geography can be class. It can be geography like L.A. I mean, L.A. is blessed, I think, to have the greatest concentration of black crime writers anywhere in the country. I don't know if you guys have thought about that, but, you know, there are more of us here than anywhere else.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? Have you guys thought about that? Why is that? And not just because the weather's better either, right?
That might have something to do with it, Tony.
I don't know. Gary, you want to take that one?
I don't know, because I tell you what, I can't write when it's really too cold. I'm going to tell you that now. or I'm worried about paying the heating bill. But maybe it does, you know, following this thread of, well, partly, of course, we know that this is where the movies are, so, of course, people are attracted
sure.
to that, and they come here for that. I was actually, funny enough, I was just thinking as people were talking, it's interesting to note that there's a couple of antecedents, I suppose they are, ancestors to where we're at today. And in particular, I was thinking of Joe Nazel. Joe Nazel was who passed, I guess, about a year and a half or 2 years ago.
Yeah,
and
Joe was one of my teachers.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. And a lot of people probably haven't heard of Joe Nazel because, as we know, he wrote all of his work were paperback originals for a small Holloway house here in which still exists here in town. But funny enough, I was thinking of his work particularly because they were crime novels and they were set in the 70s here mm-hmm. in here in Los Angeles, Street Wars, The Wolves, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a kind of interesting ancestry there to like the black crime writing of today.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And Joe Nazel was also a journalist.
That's correct.
Yes,
that's
so
right.
A number.
Right.
He was a
yes,
colleague
was.
Of mine as well.
Yeah.
Let me ask, do you think that publishers have more of an appetite, Gar, for these kinds of books from black authors than perhaps other types of books written by blacks?
That hasn't been my experience, Tony. not recently,
oh, no.
anyway.
Let me show you my seven-book contract,
right.
okay?
And Maestro from Haywood, tell him we're not here.
No, I think that, I think that the way that publishing is changing, and not for the better lately, that probably authors of color, within or without genre, are feeling the crunch probably more than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I just, as an example, I just received a rejection for the manuscript that my agent is presently trying to sell and has been trying to sell for going on 2 years.
Hmm.
And this rejection letter or email was very, very positive about what they liked about the book. They seemed to love everything about it, but the note of the rejection was essentially that the main character's life experience was not universal enough for the size of the audience that they would want
to
attract.
So what does that
publish
mean,
the book?
Paula? How do you interpret that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I find in publishing that when it comes to publishing in African Americans, there's always the one. So when Bill Clinton said that Walter Mosley was one of his favorite writers, he became the one.
That was it.
And when you talk about black literary fiction, Toni Morrison is the one. And I think publishing tends to do that. And we had a day. There was a time in African American fiction in general that there were multiple voices. But as the economy gets more and more compressed, you find that they're looking for, well, who's the one that's going to sell the most books? And so it tends to diminish the number of opportunities for writers. And then you have other things that come in. I think, like right now, there's this preoccupation with Indian culture. So you'll find a lot of Indian writers who publishers, New York pub-based publishers, are all excited about because, like, they're the new ones.
Yeah.
That's okay. The one we don't know. It's the exotic. And I think whether our experiences are universal enough or exotic enough, There's always a line you're trying to walk with other people who are evaluating whether what you're writing about is authentic enough or universal enough.
Well, let's talk about the actual genre itself, the book, the storyline, the protagonist, the conflict, things like that. For people who like that type of book, and I'm one. You get into a good crime novel, and you just can't put it down. You carry it with you everywhere you go, in the purse, in the car, in your pocket. And any time you sit down and you catch 2 or 3 minutes, you're going to flip through a few pages.
Right.
What is it about that style, Gary, of writing? What is it that you put in there that keeps readers turning the page?
Well, of course, that's what every writer hopes for, that the reader will, as you said, Tony, not put that book down and be absorbed by it and be carried away in that story. But I think it always gets back to, in any kind of writing, in the genre or outside of the genre, it's always about the characters. It really is. It really gets down to, I think, the psychology of the people that you, these two-dimensional or three-dimensional, hopefully, characters that you try to make live on the page, that they come to life for you, and hopefully they come to life for the reader. Now, obviously, also crime novels in particular, they're always about the weird twists and turns of the crime, particularly in the noir bent. That is to say, in a noir novel, you know that things are not what they seem. Mm-hmm. You also know that these characters are out for themselves. Somebody's gonna backstab or betray somebody else. And I think, you know, it's partly, it just sort of gets to that part of us in human nature. I think you kind of wait for that to happen, you wait for that to come. And the trick is to make it fresh, to make it seem kind of new and exciting. Because in the end, and maybe it was Raymond Chandler who said this, I'm not sure who said it, it might have even been Shakespeare, but there's really only 6 or 7 plots.
Mm-hmm. And now, does it matter in terms of A, writing the story, B, marketing the story, whether the protagonist in a crime novel is male or female, Gar?
Certainly not at this point. I mean, once upon a time, of course, there probably was a prejudice toward the male character, but that doesn't exist anymore. If anything, it's completely the reverse. I agree completely with what Gary said, that the draw of a book, almost any type of book, is in the character. If you believe these people and if they seem three-dimensional to you and their experiences are interesting and fascinating in some way, you know, that's what's going to keep someone reading. I think the other thing, too, specific to the mystery or crime genre, and I've said this many times in answering this particular question, I think that the attraction of the mystery novel is that typically the bad guys don't get away. The bad guys get what's coming to them. So, for instance, if I were to feature Bernard Madoff in the next book,
we know how that would end.
He's
then,
dead by page
okay.
three.
Then it's just about finding the money.
Let me ask you, because Paula's eyebrows seem to go up on the issue of the gender protagonist. At the statement that you made that you think that perhaps it's reversed now, do you see it that way?
Yes and no. I can think of isolated writers, Patricia Cornwall or Sue Grafton, who have a huge following for their female protagonists. But I find, in general, I think it's the male protagonists that are moving the plots. Because if the guy is interesting enough, the men are going to want to read him. And if he's sexy enough, the women want to read him too.
Also, there's something to that, because I think that the stereotype that people who read these kinds of books, myself included, you're looking for a good storyline, but you're also looking for some violence, and
right.
you're looking for some sex.
Right, absolutely.
Is that not right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And I have a formula chart right above my computer.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I wrote the first Charlotte Justice book, Inner City Blues, there's the sex scene in it. And frankly, as I was writing, I was like, I got to get through all this plot. And, you know, I got to get some sex in here. I got to have some sex in this book. And so I wrote the chapter and then wrote my way up to it. Today, still, I have people say, you know, there was that one part of that book that I just really liked. And when you go write that again?
We know what part that was.
Yeah.
Let me bring the conversation to a close with this question. Do you read other crime writers? And if you do, is there a danger in doing that as a writer yourself? Mm. Gary.
Yeah. Well, the danger is you don't want to outrightly or overtly steal somebody else's plot, particularly if they're a friend of yours, because you're going to invariably see them and they're going to be pissed off about that.
You're right.
what I my normal routine is that if I'm in the middle of a book or I'm in the middle of writing a comic book script or just a general script, I will avoid reading anybody, any kind of crime or mystery story, because I don't want to crib from it. I don't consciously crib from it. But of course, invariably, all this stuff is like bubbling up in your head. I mean, one of my favorites, and you wouldn't necessarily see it in my work, was a crime writer or mystery writer named Ross McDonald, who wrote very evocative stories, but very, very minimal on violence and sex in his stories, but really about the inward journey of his characters. He was very influenced by sort of Freudian things, and it was very plays out a lot in his books. But so invariably, I will probably return to his work as a kind of anchor and a kind of stationing point. But I will consciously, as I said, sort of avoid reading the people that I know or books that are in circulation now until I've finished. And then, of course, I'll take some relaxation time.
Really quickly, Garv, I've got about 10 seconds for you to answer this.
I will say I agree with Gary completely, but I will say that if you're conscious of reading only the best, then if it has an influence on your writing, it's all for the good. There's nothing wrong with that. And by the way, you talked about Bill Clinton being a big fan of Walter Moses. I just wanted to announce officially on NPR today that I have dibs on 44.
That's what you think.
All right. Unfortunately, our time is up. This has been a great conversation. I appreciate all of you coming in. We'd like to have you come back. Bring books with you when you come back.
Absolutely.
Gar Anthony Haywood is the author of the Aaron Gunner series. Gary Phillips writes and edits crime and mystery stories. His latest graphic novel is High Rollers. And Paula Woods is the author of the Charlotte Justice series. All three of them join me here in the studios of NPR West.